Welcome to the Women's Meeting for the LDS Addiction Recovery Program Spouse and Family Support Podcast. In today's meeting, we will discuss Principle 12, My Peace I Give Unto You. Elder Dallin H. Oaks of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles has said the following about the healing power of Christ's atonement.
He knows of our anguish, and He is there for us. Like the Good Samaritan in his parable, when He finds us wounded at the wayside, He binds up our wounds and cares for us. Brothers and sisters, the healing power of His atonement is for you, for us, for all.
In this series, you will hear actual participants discussing gospel principles of recovery and healing. Spouse and family support meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. All of the individuals in these podcasts are regular attendees in the Addiction Recovery Program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true opinions and experiences of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Spouse and Family Support Group. I am Sister Hawes, and I will be conducting the meeting tonight. Do we have anyone here for the first time? No. Remember to introduce yourself by your first name and to turn off your cell phones. And would someone volunteer to offer an opening prayer? Carol Lee, thank you.
Our dear, kind, gracious Heavenly Father, at the beginning of this meeting, we are so grateful to be here, to be able to discuss this principle, to learn more about the gospel, and to continue on our journey of recovery. We're thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the gift of His life, for the atonement, and how we are able to implement principles from the gospel in our lives each day. And we're thankful, Father, that that Thou loves us, that Thou cares so much about us and has blessed us with the help that we need. And we pray that we can feel Thy Spirit this night, that we can share the thoughts of our heart and our experience and the things that we have gone through. And we pray that others who are searching for help may be guided and directed to find this program. And this we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Family Support Meetings assists those with loved ones ensnared in pornography and addiction. We are a group of sisters who share our experiences, faith, and hope as we study and apply the principles of the gospel as they correlate with the Spouse and Family Support Guide. Our meetings provide a safe place for honest sharing because we adhere to the principles of confidentiality and anonymity, and we use appropriate language and behavior to invite the Spirit to be with us. As we apply these gospel principles in our own lives, we receive power through the atonement of Jesus Christ to find hope and healing and to receive the full blessings of the gospel. Let's just take a few minutes to go around and introduce ourselves, and we'll start here.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, I'm Carolee.
Hi, Carolee.
Hi, I'm Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, I'm Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you. Each week, we focus on a different principle. We will go around the room, and each person who is willing may read a paragraph. You may pass if you prefer just to listen. We have extra copies of the principle for you to use in this meeting in case you do not have one. During the reading, listen for thoughts and feelings that resonate with you. In addition, we'll be pausing at the end of each section to discuss what we have read. Please remember to raise your hand to allow only one person to speak at a time. We will end the reading and discussion in 45 minutes to allow time for the sharing portion of the meeting. Who would like to begin reading? Thank you, Vicky.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Finding peace. When faced with the consequences of our loved one's addiction, we may complain or become bitter. We sometimes ask questions such as, why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to suffer with this now? Or what have I done to deserve this? Although these questions may dominate our thoughts and absorb our energy, we can choose to respond differently. We can ask ourselves, what does the Lord want me to learn from this? What would He have me do? Who can I serve? And how can I remember my blessings? Heavenly Father loves us and wants us to be free from the consequences of our loved one's addiction. It is important to remember that He did not give us these trials. Rather, they are the result of our loved one's poor choices. But Heavenly Father can use our trials to help us grow, progress, and become more like Him. As we exercise faith, we can feel the purifying influence and peace of His Spirit, and He will replace beauty for ashes. As we cry unto the Lord, He will bless and comfort us in significant ways. While we may not always receive exactly what we ask for, the Lord is still blessing us. The people of Alma were not immediately released from bondage, but the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens. With the Lord's help, we can find peace.
Thank you. How have you found peace from Heavenly Father and the Savior? And what will you do to find peace? Melissa.
So when all this first started happening with me, I would hear in hymns and scriptures and talks the phrase, the rest of the Lord. And that sounded really awesome. I was wanting to find that rest. And there's a scripture, it's Matthew 11, 28 and 29, and it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I remember thinking, you know, how do I come unto you? How do I get that rest? And in the next scripture it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And I have discovered that that is the key for me to coming unto Christ and to finding the rest of the Lord, is to learn of Christ. I have gained so much comfort from reading the scriptures, from learning about the atonement, from listening to talks. I've gained comfort and strength from that. And so for me, to learn of Christ is really how I have found my peace.
Thank you. Becky.
The thing that struck me during the reading is that it's a choice. And I'm thinking about the second question, what will you do to find peace? As I look back on my journey, I can see so clearly that I was kind of causing my own misery because I wasn't ready to turn it over yet and start seeking peace. I kind of, for some reason, stayed there. It was kind of a self-imposed prison. And, you know, in our reading it says, although these questions may dominate our thoughts and absorb our energy, we can choose to respond differently. And I found that to be true for me when I was really ready to let the Lord take away some of that pain. Peace did enter my life, and it's something I still have to choose to this day. They are the daily things for me, making sure that I'm seeking the Savior through prayer and study, not just a quick make sure I get a few verses in, but really contemplating and adding prayer with my study. And those kinds of things help me so much to have peace in all aspects of my life. And I notice when that's not there, that's when things go out of balance. That's when temptations come stronger for me. Well, I think that was all I really wanted to share, is just that those daily things are what bring me peace.
Thank you. Carly.
Seeking peace has been something that has been of greater importance to me as I've grown and passed through different trials. And I think that when I became weary of my own efforts, that is when I really started to just desire peace and ask for it and believe that the Savior could give it to me. I think the burdens were just heavy, and it was just hard to get through moment to moment. And asking has been just asking and believing that He would grant it to me has been a way that I've been able to find peace. and he's given it to me.
Thank you. I don't know if you guys had the chance to watch the video that it recommends at the end of this principle, Come What May and Love It, by Elder Wordlin. Yes. Love him. And I just loved what he had to say. And unfortunately, I didn't write down the exact points, but I know I did write down that he said that the Lord compensates the faithful for every loss. That which is taken away from those who love the Lord will be added unto them in his own way. While it may not come at a time we desire, the faithful will know that every tear today will eventually be returned 100-fold with tears of rejoicing and gratitude. And I thought that was really beautiful. Anyone else on this? Okay, Becky.
Extending forgiveness. Forgiveness includes a process of letting go of burdens that keep us from experiencing the Savior's peace. President Gordon B. Hinckley said, "A spirit of forgiveness and an attitude of love and compassion toward those who may have wronged us is of the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will find healing as we forgive others." President James E. Faust taught, "It will take humility to do this, but if we will get on our knees and ask Heavenly Father for a feeling of forgiveness, He will help us. The Lord requires us to forgive all men for our own good, because hatred hinders spiritual growth. Only as we rid ourselves of hatred and bitterness can the Lord put comfort into our hearts." Forgiveness does not mean that we condone our loved ones' poor choices or allow them to mistreat us. Forgiveness allows us to move forward spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Just as our loved ones are in bondage to addiction, our unwillingness to forgive can hold us captive. As we forgive, we leave behind feelings that, in the words of President Thomas S. Monson, have the power to canker, fester, and ultimately destroy. In this way, we eliminate the barriers to having the Spirit more abundantly and continue on the path of discipleship. As President Dieter F. Uchtdorf reminds us, heaven is filled with those who have this in common. They are forgiven and they forgive.
Thank you. How has forgiveness blessed you? Stephanie.
For me, I feel like the forgiveness was, it took a lot longer. I think I thought I had forgiven and I actually hadn't. But it was probably the beginning of my real healing. I like how it, it talks about forgiveness allows us to move forward spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Holding on to those feelings of anger and resentment was such a barrier for me to be able to feel the Spirit. Emotionally, I wasn't as happy, and it was a physical weight. And when I finally decided that I didn't want to have that anymore, I didn't want to have that weight, and I knew it was my choice that I could forgive regardless of what my husband did or does do in the future, I have that ability to forgive. And I just needed to be able to turn to the Savior and allow that to happen. And it was more my willingness to let that happen.
Becky.
For me, it took me a while to reconcile. I don't know exactly how to say this, but for me, it took me a while to not feel guilt that I wasn't able to just forgive. And I learned that forgiveness is a process, just like repentance is. And that helped me because I did have days that I felt so forgiving and I felt a lot of peace in my life. But I also had other days where I was tempted to be angry and I would feel guilty, like I'm such a bad person. How come I can't forgive? I wanted to follow the Savior's counsel to forgive. But just like it says here, it does require humility. And sometimes we have our own work to do to become sufficiently humble for the Lord to work with us and to heal us. But it really was me that needed to submit to my Savior. And for me, that was one of the most precious experiences that I've had spiritually, is that moment of really submitting to the Savior, where I needed Him desperately and I wanted change in my life, and he gave it. When I wanted that peace, he gave it to me, and that's just one of those testimonies I think I'll hold dear forever. But it did require humility. I had to let go of a lot of pride and a lot of anger, and it did take time as well.
Vicki?
So I heard something the other day that kind of helped me. I think forgiveness is, for me, one of the greatest gifts. That is the peace to me, is forgiveness. But it was said that forgiveness is a gift that we give ourselves, and trust is something that may take a while. And for my situation, that was so true, that I could forgive, but that doesn't mean that, as it said in there, that we condone or that I trust. Again, those things may take a lot longer. But forgiveness is a gift.
Lynn?
One thing that helped me was to realize that the Savior says that he will forgive and remember our sins no more. But he tells us that we have to forgive. He doesn't say that we don't have to forget it. And it is hard to forget that you've been hurt. And like Vicki said, that's where the trusting is a whole nother issue. So it's okay not to forget. And sometimes you need to not forget because you still need to protect yourself.
Carolee.
I sometimes felt like to forgive my husband was somehow going to minimize the hurt I felt, that somehow he would think that it really hadn't affected me the way it did. And I didn't want him to think that because it's such a big deal to me. And so I think that was kind of a fear that if I forgive him, then he'll think it's okay or that it wasn't that big of a deal. But I've realized, like others have said, you know, that's not true, that forgiveness is a personal thing, that without forgiveness, we are stunted, our spirits are hurt. God knows what we need to be happy, and that's why he commands us to forgive. Just like all the other commandments that we have, they're for our happiness, because he knows. But it does take time, and that's something that I think I was gentle with myself. I don't like to pretend. I don't like to say I'm okay when I'm not. And so I gave myself the time necessary to really work through it, so that if I told my husband that I forgive him, that I was saying that because I meant it. And that's not to say that sometimes the hurt hasn't come back and I've felt like, or I've been triggered in some way to fall back into old patterns of my own thinking. I mean, that happens because we're not perfect. And I think Satan does want us to try to hold grudges and to continue to have enmity with our loved ones. But even still, I feel like that hasn't undone the work that I've, you know, done to try to have a complete forgiveness. And I may have mentioned this before, but I love it because it's something that my husband says to my kids. He says, you know, holding a grudge or not forgiving somebody is like taking poison and hoping that the other person dies. And I just love that because it is such a visual, you know, if we don't forgive, it is like we're poisoning our own spirit, and our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and that's why he's commanded us to forgive this. But I think he is patient with us in our progress.
Okay. Lynn.
God will help us forgive. When forgiveness seems beyond our capability, we can rely on the Savior to help change our hearts and grant us the gift of charity. Forgiving someone when we have been wronged or hurt can be very difficult, especially when these offenses are regularly repeated. But this is part of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. President Uchtdorf also taught, Jesus said, "It is easy to love those who love us. Even the wicked can do that." But Jesus Christ taught a higher law. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The pure love of Christ can remove the scales of resentment and wrath from our eyes, allowing us to see others the way our Heavenly Father sees us.
We must be patient with ourselves as we work toward forgiving our loved ones. President Faust said, "Most of us need time to work through pain and loss. We can find all manner of reasons for postponing forgiveness. One of these reasons is waiting for the wrongdoers to repent before we forgive them. Yet such a delay causes us to forfeit the peace and happiness that could be ours. The folly of rehashing long past hurts does not bring happiness. If we can find forgiveness in our hearts for those who have caused us hurt and injury, we will rise to a higher level of self-esteem and well-being."
Thank you. When has God helped you forgive, and how can God help you forgive now? Lynn.
When I decided I was ready to forgive my husband, I knew that he had repented, and I knew that he had been forgiven by the Lord. And I had decided that I was ready. And all I was waiting for was for him to get down on his knees in front of me and beg me to forgive him. And as soon as he did that, then I would say, "Yes, I forgive you, dear. Everything's okay." And that never happened. And yes, he told me he was sorry, but not at that time. I say he'd already done that before, but I was wanting this big display. And after much contemplation, in fact, it was a trip to the temple that brought me to the light, I realized that my forgiving him had nothing to do with whether he asked me to forgive him or not. It was something that I had to do no matter what, and that I needed to do it without the show. Because if I needed the show in order to do it, I wasn't really forgiving him.
Leanne.
With this question, when has God helped you forgive? One of the biggest events in our recovery and my husband's disclosure was that he had had a relationship outside of marriage with my best friend that was my lifelong friend. And I remember sitting in our family room when he disclosed this across the room for both of our safeties when I found out this level of betrayal, this tragic information. And I remember sitting there saying, "I can forgive anything but this," because it involved, you know, the two best, closest relationships to me. And it took a lot of years and a lot of writing, a lot of trying to get the wrongdoers in those circumstances to come to me, as Lynn's mentioning. You know, I wanted that restitution because they had the same background and beliefs that, you know, that I believed that they needed to repair those damages directly to me before I could forgive them. And I've eventually been able to let that go and actually be at peace with that circumstance and know that everyone is fallible. I make mistakes. They make mistakes. Some are bigger than others. Some are more hurtful than others. And I just remember, you know, those words coming out of my mouth that I could forgive anything but that circumstance. And it's just neat for me to see that I had God's help to forgive. I know that, you know, my natural responses and my natural emotions, they weren't going there. But with God's help, I was able to forgive that situation. And I can think about it and talk about it. And it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt like it did. And I just know that was divine support from my Heavenly Father that allowed that forgiveness to take place.
Thank you. Becky.
I got hurt really recently. I felt like somebody had said things about my character that really hurt me. And at first I held on to it. that's mine, and I'm going to hold on to my anger and just be mad, and I don't have to be around them. And I was just so mad. And then I just kept spiraling out of control back into my worry and obsessing about what was going to happen with our marriage and all these things. And even though things were going pretty good, you know, and it would just get triggered by thinking about this person. And so finally I realized that I need to give that up. I'm going to have to, you know, put aside my pride. And I'm going to have to learn to be around that person. Because I didn't want to hurt them. I just didn't ever want to see them again. You know, I just block you out of my life, you know. So I decided that I was going to try and forgive them. And so I tried. I kept trying. Every time I thought about it, I would say, okay, I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm trying to forgive this person. And I tried so hard, and I just couldn't do it. It just didn't work. And I talked to my dad about it, and he said, he used the word surrender. And when he said that, I just knew, I started to cry. I was driving, and he was sitting behind me, and I just started to cry, and I knew that was the right thing. And so, finally, I think I did it while I was sitting in the car, and I just prayed that the Lord, through the atonement, would take those feelings away from me so that I didn't have to bear that anymore, that I could just give it away. And the next time I saw that person, I did not feel that anymore. And I'm so glad, because I hated going down that path of so much anger and being upset when I could just give that away and not have to feel that way anymore. And but I needed the atonement to help me with that. I couldn't do it by myself.
I think what you said at the end there was, I needed the atonement. I couldn't do it by myself. There you go. Anyone else on this? Okay. For those of you who have joined us since the meeting began, we welcome you. We will now begin the sharing portion of the meeting. You are invited to share your personal experiences of applying gospel principles in your life. Please focus your sharing on the solution rather than the problem. Refrain from mentioning graphic details about the practice of your loved one's addiction. Also, it is perfectly acceptable to pass if you prefer to listen only. Confidentiality and anonymity foster honesty and make this a safe place to share. In keeping with the principle of anonymity, we invite you to introduce yourself by your first name only. We will conclude the sharing portion 5 minutes before the end of the meeting. The time is now yours to share your experiences, faith, and hope. We invite you to share for 3 to 5 minutes. I will give you a signal if you've used your full time for sharing. In this meeting, we will proceed clockwise. Who would like to begin sharing? Becky, thank you.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, Becky.
So my thoughts just keep going back to the phrase, and it's one that I really like, and it's, don't just believe in them, but believe them. And that's what's really been on my mind tonight as we've been discussing, is just how important it is to just let ourselves believe, just let ourselves hope again, let ourselves trust again, but in that one being who we can always trust, you know, in letting ourselves set aside pride and let God work with us. For me, pride was a big obstacle. Fear was a big obstacle. anger. Lots of things were in my way, but I have learned that the Savior is so patient with me, and he does take away my pain. So many things that used to be painful for me aren't anymore. I do still have things that trigger me, but not to the same degree. And it did take time. But I really like this last section that we just went over, and it's when forgiveness seems beyond our capability, we can rely on the Savior to help change our hearts and grant us the gift of charity. I just want to testify that that change of heart is true, that it's possible, that the Savior can and does work with us the way that we are, and he'll help us develop and change and mold and take this process if we're only willing. And for me, that's something I continually have to renew, continually learning how to set aside my pride and really turn to the Savior. Lots of times I like to try to do it, and then I kind of get caught up and I figure it out again, that all I needed to do was trust in him and turn to him. And I think I just want to share that testimony that I know he has that power. We can, in fact, believe in him to do the things, all of the things that he promises. And I share that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Becky.
Hi, I'm Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
In last week's meeting, I shared that I was glad my husband had never had a relapse because I didn't think I could take it. And it really hit me after I got home that if I have to, I can. If he has a relapse, I can make it through it because I know that I have a Savior who loves me. And so if he tells me, should that happen, that I need to stay with my husband, I can do it. I'll be able to get through it. At the same time, if he tells me that I've done enough, that I've done everything that's required me and that it's time to bail out, then that's okay too. But whatever happens in this life, if I will stay close to my Savior, I can get through it. Any trials that come, I can get through it. And that gives me so much hope and so much joy to know that we can get through this life no matter what, if we trust in him. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
And I've been thinking a lot about this principle this week because ultimately in recovery, peace is what I wanted. And ultimately, I think in life, peace is what I want to maintain. And I love how in the preface, in the scripture at the beginning, it talks about the kind of peace that our Christ and Heavenly Father, as well as, I would add, the Comforter gives, not as the world giveth, but they have a different definition of the kind of peace that they offer. And I think that it's longer lasting. And in my recovery, I have found a lot of comfort as well as sympathy as well as support that has brought me momentary peace. But I think that I've longed for a more lasting peace. And one of the things that I used to love to do that in my recovery I forfeited for quite a while was attend the temple. The temple, I think, is a really good definition of the kind of place that we can find spiritual peace versus the kind of peace that the world gives. There's a different level for me of serenity, a different level of connection with my Father in heaven and Jesus Christ. And there, when I attended the temple for quite a while, it was a trigger for me because there was promises that connected me to my spouse and his obedience as well to those covenants. And for a long time, I couldn't find peace in the one place that I aspired to have the most peace, And as he and I attended the temple today, one of the scriptures that I've loved through my life, but I loved even more today, came to mind. And I just want to quickly share that with you in Proverbs 3. I think a lot of us are very familiar about not leaning on our own understanding. And I remember in the beginning of recovery how I just had no understanding. And I know I wouldn't be in the place that I am in recovery today had I only relied on my own understanding, or the understanding of, you know, great other people that have been through what I've been through or had empathy toward my situation. But I've learned that there's a higher level of trusting the Lord with my heart, with all my heart, and not leaning on my own understanding, as it says in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Proverbs. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." And I think that's so pertinent to recovery. "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." And I just think that whole chapter, it could go on, is just a great path, a great map toward recovery, if we could aspire to follow those things and seek understanding through the Holy Ghost that we've been blessed with, and be worthy to have those paths of peace revealed to us that would bring us those lasting promises. And I just, in my gospel belief, in the gospel that I believe in, and the doctrine and principles that I believe in, I believe that we existed as spirits before we came to earth. And I love that, to think of maybe Christ in my transition between pre-earth life and the life I have now may have spoken these exact type of words to me about peace and where to seek it ultimately as I struggle through this life. And I'm tempted, and my husband's tempted. And I lean a lot on those words of, "Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." And I just testify and bear my testimony that that lasting peace can come even in this mortal existence and in this life. And I've felt it, and I've been comforted by the Holy Spirit when I've sought that comfort, that lasting peace, and I've loved the relationship that I've been able to develop with my Father in heaven as I've gone to him in prayer through the gift of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I leave that testimony of peace and hope with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
This principle, I definitely needed this principle to study this week. I think I need to be reminded about where I need to look for peace. When I'm starting this journey with, when I found out about my husband,
you know, it's a time in your life where you feel like everything is kind of completely falling apart, shattering. And to be able to receive peace is kind of the, I put it, I guess it's crucial in order to continue and to pick yourself up a little bit. And I guess echoing what Leanne said with the peace that the Savior gives to us, you know, I think the world offers lots of temporary things of peace. And I think we try to seek those sometimes, trying to find that peace. But what ultimately we're looking for, or what I have been looking for, is the peace that I get through my Savior. And, you know, as reading through this principle, and one of the things that stood out to me was at the beginning, said it just, the mid-sentence or at the beginning of a sentence of the Finding Peace section says, Heavenly Father loves us. And I think that for me was very important to remember. And as I go through this journey and as I try to heal the reality of my Heavenly Father and the reality of my Savior grows, and I know the love that I have for my children. I know when they struggle, you know, how my heart aches for them. You know, some things I can fix, some things I can't. But I'm always wanting to be there to comfort them. And I think tonight I think I needed to be reminded of just how much my Heavenly Father loves me. And as I ache for my kids when they struggle, I know that my Heavenly Father, you know, He cares for me and He hurts for me, but He has given me the greatest gift of His Son and the atonement that, you know, He wants me to find that peace. And I'm just very grateful that is something that we can strive for, that we can seek, because it's something that I have. I feel like I can lose it. I get distracted. And I think I lose focus of what I need to be doing and where I need to be looking for that peace. And I'm just deeply grateful for my Savior. I'm grateful for the love that He's had for me, for the love that my Heavenly Father has for me, and that I know that they are aware of me. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
I think first I want to thank all of you for sharing your wisdom tonight. I was having a hard time with this principle, because I'm still working on the forgiveness part. I feel like I've forgiven quite a bit, but there's still this piece of me that can't let go. And I'm grateful to hear what you've said about it taking time and where I can go for help. And I needed that. So thank you so much. I was thinking as we read this first paragraph, where it's talking about how we can ask ourselves, you know, why is this happening to me? And it goes on, I think someone mentioned this, but I'll just read it again real quick. It says, although these questions may dominate our thoughts and absorb our energy, we can choose to respond differently. We can ask ourselves, what does the Lord want me to learn from this? I was thinking about that, and I've only said this out loud a few times because it, for some reason, unsettles me, but I've found that I'm grateful that I've been through this trial. I'm grateful because of how it has brought me to my Savior. When this first happened, I had no idea what to do. It was so new and so crazy, and I was upside down. I thought, okay, Heavenly Father, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. And that included reading my scriptures and praying, which I hadn't been doing, you know, very faithfully. And through doing that and through going through this program and finding healing and learning about my Heavenly Father and my Savior's love for me and feeling the atonement and being able to understand better the atonement, I've gained an immense testimony that I didn't have before. I've noticed that recently things can be so confusing. I think Satan uses that tool really well in our day. And I think that if I hadn't been through this experience and gained this testimony, that I might not always be able to see my way clearly in this confusion. So I'm very grateful that I've been through this trial. When I say that, I feel like I'm disregarding the hurt that I felt or the magnitude of the trial or of my husband's addiction. But it's just true. I'm just thankful that I have this testimony that can't be shaken and that I've learned humility and I've learned the things I need to do to move forward and be happy in my life. So I just want to bear my testimony of that. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Melissa.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Before I came, I was able to take some time and read through some of the personal learning and application. And the talk by Elder Uchtdorf is one that I liked a lot when he gave it. And I'm just going to read a few parts of it. And I wrote this down, so if I make a mistake, sorry. But it's from the talk, The Merciful Obtain Mercy. He says, when the Lord requires that we forgive all men, that includes forgiving ourselves. Sometimes of all the people in the world, the one who is the hardest to forgive, as well as perhaps the one who is the most in need of forgiveness, is the person looking back at us in the mirror. And that really meant a lot to me because sometimes I've thought, well, maybe it's my mistakes. This is why I have this trial. And sometimes I have a hard time forgiving myself for little things that I didn't even, was an accident or, you know, I was careless. So, and then another thing he said was, on judging others, he says, when it comes to hating, gossiping, ignoring, ridiculing, holding grudges, or wanting to cause harm, please apply the following, stop it. I remember when he said that, and it was kind of like everybody woke up. And that was me recently, holding grudges. I did that. And he said, and I like this. Afterwards, he said, I will even quote a bumper sticker I recently saw. And he goes on a little bit and he says, the words of the sticker taught an insightful lesson. It read, don't judge me because I sin differently than you. And this has been something that I thought about a lot lately. Is just seeing people, trying to see people the way the Savior sees people and just loving them and not condoning their choices, but loving them. And that has helped me a lot lately. And I know that this trial is right now for me, it's an ongoing trial. And some days are better, and some days are very confusing, and I don't always know what to do. But I'm so grateful for some of the things that have been said, like to pray when you have an argument or when you don't know what to say, because it helps me to collect myself, and it helps me to move forward in a way that I wouldn't have been able to if I hadn't said that prayer. And I'm so grateful that I've been able to understand the atonement better through this program. And I'm grateful that I can use that in my life. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Becky.
Hi, I'm Carolee.
Hi, Carolee.
I read through this principle earlier this week, and as I was thinking about it, I reflected on the first principle and how it has that list, all the different ways that we may be feeling. It talks about fear, and it talks about confusion, loss of trust, shame, isolation, pain and hurt and bitterness. I think of that first principle and how many of these things I felt, along with some things that it left off the list, like anger and humiliation and just a deep sense of loss. And it makes complete sense that principle 12 would bring us around to peace and forgiveness. It's just an amazing process of change that we go through, that I've gone through in this journey. When I think about forgiveness and, you know, at first when, you know, going back 6 years when I found out about my husband's addiction and the different behaviors he had been involved with, but I knew that I was to stay and to work it out. I had so much anger, so much hurt that it was uncomfortable to feel that way toward my husband and to be in the same home. So I started to project a lot of that anger onto the industry of pornography, onto women who my husband had been involved with, onto people I didn't know, because it just seemed easier for me to handle my range of emotions and hurt if I didn't have to point it all toward my husband. And if I could point it toward these people who I didn't have to face and see every day. But that wasn't very helpful. It's kind of like, you know, I couldn't escape facing my husband and my feelings that I had toward him of the hurt that he had caused. Just like he couldn't escape facing me in his recovery, he had to come to me, he had to be honest. So we both had to face each other, and it was so hard. And I remember meeting with my stake president, and he was pretty early on, and he brought up the scripture in Doctrine and Covenants 64:10 of how the Lord requires us to forgive all men, that he will forgive whom he will, but of us it's required to forgive all men. That was very early. He brought that up so early. I mean, this is principle 12. I had not even started principle 1 when my stake president brought that up. And he looked at me and he kind of was perhaps wondering how I was feeling as I stared him down. And he asked me, "How are you feeling?" And I said, "I'm angry at God. I'm angry at my husband. And I'm angry at you." And it took a couple of years, and he came back to me, and he said, "Remember when you said that to me?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I do." And he said, "You've changed." But it, like I said before, I don't like to fake things. I really have to go through it. But that scripture, although it does seem harsh, you know, the Lord gets to forgive whom he will, but we're required to forgive all men. That just seems so hard. But what I've learned in this, as I studied first the addiction recovery program and then these principles, I've learned that forgiveness releases me from carrying the burden of judgment of which I was never fit to carry. And it allows me to place the burden of judgment upon the Savior who has experienced everything and knows everything, and only he is able. And so instead of it being a burden to ask me to forgive, it's actually a release of that burden of judgment. And that's been kind of a process for me to learn. A missionary in this program shared something in a meeting that I attended that was very powerful. She said, "Forgive everyone, everything, always." And I've just thought about that. That is huge, but that's what the Savior asks us to do. Forgive everyone, everything, always. I wanted to share also something that I like to listen to General Conference in my car as I drive. And this week, I listened to the talk by Elder Dale G. Renlund called Latter-day Saints Keep on Trying. And it touched me. And so I went home and read it because I wanted to see the words. And he said, "God cares a lot more about who we are and who we are becoming than about who we once were." And then there was a footnote, so I followed it. And in the footnote, it says, "Saying that God cares a lot more about who we are and who we are becoming than about who we once were does not mean that the Savior is dismissive of the consequences of an individual's sin on others. In fact, the Savior cares infinitely about those who suffer hurt, pain, and heartache because of another's transgressions. The Savior will take upon him his people's infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities." I just thought that was an amazing insight. And I read in Doctrine and Covenants that 122:8, that the Son of Man hath descended below everything. So my relationship with the Savior has grown also in this process. I've learned that he can carry this burden for me, that I don't have to be angry at people I haven't met, people I have met, or at my husband, that God cares more about who we are and who we're becoming and who my husband is and who he is becoming. And it quotes just in this first paragraph a little bit about how the Savior will replace beauty for ashes. And that comes from Isaiah 61:1-3. It's some of my most favorite scriptures. And it's my testimony of the Savior. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." And this is the Savior. "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." I love that our Savior turns our ashes to beauty, that he turns our mourning to joy, that he releases the captives from prison. Because I know that my husband was bound, and I was bound, and the atonement has released us. And I'm thankful for the principle of forgiveness, that it's a commandment. And as I have put that into practice in my life, I've been released from so much pain and sorrow. And I've had joy in my life. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Carolee.
Hi, I'm Vicki.
Hi, Vicki.
My heart's kind of pounding tonight. Kind of like when you have to get up on Sunday and bear your testimony. Thanks, everybody, for sharing your testimonies with me tonight. I have such an incredible testimony of forgiveness, but it didn't come easy, and it certainly didn't come quickly. I've shared with you before that I was married once before, and got a divorce, and felt like the Lord was with me through that journey. In the time leading up to that divorce, I remember praying, literally praying tearfully, don't make me forgive. It wasn't a question. It wasn't a bargain. I just didn't want to go through that pain. I did not want to do that. Because of that, those ashes, that blackness, that pain, I have such an incredible testimony of the peace that comes after that. And recognize that it's always something worth working for. And I am not good at it all the time, and there are people that I still struggle with, that I'm still struggling with forgiving day to day. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is the most precious gift. That the Lord really does lighten my heart and make me feel joy when I forgive. And it has nothing to do with the other person. Like in my prior marriage, I was not supposed to trust. I wasn't supposed to forget. I wasn't supposed to go back. But I was absolutely supposed to forgive so that I could heal. And I feel like, for the most part, that's what's happened. So I'm just really, really grateful for the Lord. As Carol Lee reminded us, when the Savior went to Gethsemane, he went below all so that he could know us. He knows our pain and our hurt. He knows me, and he loves me, and he's handled it, and I don't need to. I just need to be forgiven and allow the Lord into my heart. And he'll give that to me, I know, if I keep working and I keep asking, and I'm so grateful for that gift that he gave me. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. All of you. When my husband got home today, we were talking about the state of the world, the lack of peace. Just on the earth at this time, everywhere. And I read this in President Uchtdorf's talk that Becky referred to. I love this one too. But he says, in a world of accusations and unfriendliness, it is easy to gather and cast stones. But before we do so, let us remember the words of the one who is our master and model. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. Brothers and sisters, let us put down our stones. Let us be kind. Let us forgive. Let us talk peacefully with each other. Let the love of God fill our hearts. Let us do good unto all men. That brought a lot of peace to me. I'm having tears. Just, it's what I do when I feel the Spirit. And I did when I read this a long time ago. I did when I read it this week. And it's what I needed to read this week. He also says in this talk, how can we deny to others any measure of the grace we so desperately desire for ourselves? And I just wanted to share those few thoughts with you from this talk. I've had an experience this week that has shaken me to the core. But I want to bear testimony to this. If we can do what we're asked to do and forgive, if we can turn inward and take this journey of healing. And even when we're called on to let go of something that's very dear to us, but stand for what we know is right and stand with our Savior, that it will work. And that's our promise. I love you all. I pray for you daily. I have a testimony of this program. I am honored to know you. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Please remember that what has been shared here is confidential, and the opinions expressed here are those of the individual who expressed them and do not necessarily represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Please review the gospel study and personal learning and application sections of the principles between meetings to build on what you've heard and experienced in this meeting. Finally, we thank each of you for your participation. And would someone please offer the closing prayer? Becky.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this day. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we were able to come to this meeting and to be able to feel the Spirit and be edified by the stories and counsel that was shared. And Heavenly Father, we ask that we'll be able to remember these things and that we'll be able to use them in our lives and use them to help ourselves and our family. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for the power of the atonement and the healing that lies therein. So grateful for loving Father, for thee, and for the support that you give us, and please help us to be able to drive home safely. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to an actual LDS addiction recovery program spouse and family support meeting. For more information or to attend meetings near you, visit arp.lds.org or contact your local priesthood leader. To download a podcast of any episode of the Addiction Recovery Program, visit mormonchannel.org or arp.lds.org.